here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Then welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I can't do that to us.
I'm Leah. You have to take your big breath and go,
yeah.
Okay.
I forgot we were even recording.
You were in the middle of a sentence.
Were we not recording when that started?
No, we were.
I just forgot we were because we were chit-chatting.
I did a transition. I said, in that case, welcome to Tunnel Talk. It was a beautiful transition, and I'm good at these because of my long years in the podcasting business. I'm really good at transitions now, and I'm proving to myself that I can move fast and be agile. I'm like, oh, it's time to start the show. I'll immediately just say what I say to start the show. It's easy for me.
Okay, you're innovating in the space, but you're weighed down by two girls who need you to do the exact same thing in the exact same way.
There's an important ritual at play here, which gets me from a space where I'm chit-chatting with my friends to a space where I'm chit-chatting with my friends in front of people.
But now we're just staying in the chit-chatting with our friends.
I know, and it's making me feel dangerous.
Unsafe. Yeah. What am I going to say?
Oh my God, who knows what we could say? Who knows?
Everybody, we keep saying this lately, and probably everyone listening is like, what do you guys think you're going to say that you don't normally say? And don't worry about it. That's my feeling on that.
I just don't worry about it. I want
to
say to people, if you think we're extremely annoying, we're so much worse in private.
For sure. I mean, what could I add to that? Like, it's this times 10, baby.
Do you think there's anyone out there, like, annoyed listening to us? They're like, these girls, they drive me crazy and just hate listening every week.
Absolutely, 100%. And to that listener, I say, free yourself, you know, but on the other hand.
No, don't. That's so sexy.
Oh my God. No.
And they just listen and they hate us. Do you think we could ever get so annoying that like they just have to come and like stalk us and then we'd fight but then fall
really
in love?
You really did become a woman at All Out.
Do you think that this hater someday could burn my house down?
All the passion that haters bring in. Yeah.
For your sake, I hope so. I really hope that hater comes and burns your house down.
Thank you.
You deserve that. Both my co-hosts deserve that. Hey,
wow.
Let's set both your houses on fire.
And you deserve it too, Allie.
I won't leave you out.
That actually doesn't work for me, brother. I've got some beautiful antiques in here, so.
So what you want for your love life is not your house being burned down.
I guess no, not for me at this time, but no. I'll try to think if there's anything that I would let a lover burn down to prove their hatred, but their passion for me.
I just picture you handing like your lover a candle and just being like, "Will this do? I just don't want you to hurt my things."
I've got a whole bucket full of candles, so they're beautiful beeswax.
Or like you let them burn down like the gas station down the street, or
like, no, they can't. I
things
can't
that
let
don't
them,
belong to you.
I actually can't let them burn down that holiday because that's where I go to get my sour gushers. So that one's gonna have to.
So actually. So it is just a candle then. Okay.
Pretty much just the candle. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how's everyone doing this week?
I heard Leah was really happy this week.
Oh my God.
She's experienced high highs and low lows.
Yeah. I made one joke around my shark co-hosts, and they let down the joke.
It was a really specific joke where you said, wow, I can't wait for what's making me happy to be back so I can tell everyone something that's making me happy. And I thought, wow, this girl is making huge strides because now she is independently coming up with things that make her happy and thinking, I wish I could share these. What kind of a co-host would I be if I didn't put that on the schedule via happiness check-in?
I want to be clear. This did not take place in our Tunnel Talk group chat. It did not take place in the wrestling channel. It took place in a private thread between me and producer Marjorie.
So yeah, that's podcast.
We're in there. No, but we're there.
It was me and Marjorie time, and you came into it and started saying things like, oh, I'm going to make you say it on air. Well, I like applesauce.
I was going to say, aren't you going to feel a little silly with all this buildup? And it's just that you want to share it with people, a really nice, pleasant, normal thing. It's just that you like applesauce. But you like it so much that you said, I wish we hadn't gotten rid of what's making me happy. I mean, you're the one who said.
To producer Marjorie in public. I said a private trip, but where we could all see it in the middle of the room.
I kind of drew her into an alcove, and then I whispered to her and said, I really like applesauce, and apparently that was overheard by the other party goers.
Well, you want to tell them what you like so much about applesauce?
Yeah, so talk to us about the applesauce.
Applesauce? It just gets you so worked up.
Was it with the combo with the pork chop that really elevated it? Or?
Do you think you like applesauce more now that you're a woman?
Have you become self-actualized now that you're a woman and you can suddenly see things that are making you happy everywhere?
Like Eve, I have tasted of the apple.
Oh.
And
I guess she did taste it, but second.
Well, it's not even an apple in the text. It's just a fruit.
Wow.
That is true. Wow. Huge.
Yeah. Could have been a pomegranate for all you know.
Whoa.
You wouldn't bite right into that, surely.
I don't know if it even says she bit right into it.
Well, Anne, you're our resident theologian.
It's kind of fucking me up to picture her eating any other fruit. Like, imagine her being like, I'm eating from the tree of knowledge and it's a banana. No, it's wrong.
It's not serious.
A banana. That is not a serious fruit. That's true. Hard to retain your dignity when you eat a banana.
Phallic, at the end of the day. Well, let's just update you on some stuff that we have coming up. This very weekend, actually, I believe the day that this episode is releasing, we will be doing our bonus app live stream on twitch.com. That's Sunday, September 22nd, 8/7 Central. And that we'll put it up as an episode too. So if you can't make it to the live stream, you'll still get to listen to all the doubtless thrilling things we plan to say about matches we'll probably barely understand.
And this time you can watch us not understand it in live time. And you can yell back at us, as I'm sure people are like, oh, they didn't get that. But now they get to type it to us.
That's true. And we may look at those things that you type. It'd be pretty exciting.
But we also may get pretty discombobulated about it.
I see that for us, yeah.
So, and then the second thing, upcoming, the Social Suplex Network has some stuff in the works, and we will be gathering together for a full network live stream, also on twitch.com,
YouTube. It's going to be
on YouTube.
The Social Suplex main YouTube page, which I believe is youtube.com/@@SocialSuplex.
Wow, that was really good.
That's impressive. We'll tweet
a link for sure. Yeah. And that will be Friday, September 27th at 6/5 Central. Now that's a little time that you don't hear said that much in the world of TV, but
no, it's
that's not a time that TV is national. That's a time for your local stations to see local programming.
That's exactly right. It's a local programming hour.
But we had a little window to hit where Sir Sam the Australian, Trish and Imp the Brits, and Sarah, who is on British time despite being American.
Sarah, our morning DJ.
Yeah.
Rising at 2:30.
Yep.
So this was the window where we could hit everybody coming off of work in America, but the others hadn't gone to sleep yet. And I have a feeling it's going to be quite insane.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We've never done anything like this. It's going to be crazy. No.
Getting 10 of us on there live, good luck to Jeremy, who's emceeing it, I would say.
Especially when I believe Leah has already been threatening to...
Heckle him?
To heckle, yeah. to make life difficult, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're strong, Jeremy. You're strong. Yeah. Don't pay attention to her. We believe in you. Mm-mm. You just keep your eyes on the prize.
You mute her if you need to.
Emceeing. You absolutely mute at will.
If I get forcibly muted at the Social Suplex AMA, it is going to be the greatest moment of my entire life.
Or Jeremy could psychologically mute you by suddenly asking, Leah, what's making you happy today? That would shut you down.
Wow. There's
all of a sudden, my square goes black.
I don't know. Suddenly I can't read.
Okay. I wonder what kind of things people are going to want to ask us in the Ask Me Anything.
I know.
Oh, right. Dangerous. We're doing an AMA. Yeah, we're going to do some. We're going to do an AMA. We'll maybe do some games. We have some big announcements. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I can't wait to find out. I hope we get asked a question. Could one of you please ask a question of us?
Please.
And have it be like a really fun one. Like, so fun.
Don't make us feel like the losers on the stream. No questions.
Because you know people are going to come in and be like, oh, like, keeping a strong style, who do you think is going to be in the G1 this year? And Chris, Trish and Sarah, what did you think of SmackDown losing to Dynamite in the ratings? I don't know. And then it's going to be us. And they're going to be like, who do you think is the cutest member of the Learning Tree?
That is a good question. Are you saying it's not? That's fun. Cutest member of the Learning Tree, my God.
Yeah, that's about that for quite a while. Yeah. Wow. Stand back, everybody else. Got to get into it. And actually, I want to hear everyone's opinions on that from...
Oh, my God.
I want to hear Keeping Strong Style's opinions on who's the cutest member of the Learning
Let's
Tree.
Let's ask some cute questions. Who's the cutest boy in wrestling?
Yeah. Which boy in wrestling would you kiss if you had to?
We learned it from watching you, Dustin. All right. You girls want to talk wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We better.
Okay. This is my worst section, but for some reason I put it first.
it's going to be the first pancake, so just don't worry about it.
This is about to be a real mess. Okay, Yuta was on Collision this week, a show we don't watch, but we went back and tried to catch up on a little of it because we heard he did some great psychological work. So he got interviewed backstage by Lexi Nair, probably, I think, when he was, like, coming in because he had a match with Anthony Henry. And so she was like, what's up, Yuta? What's the news on Danielson? And he was clearly... He was haggard. He was
sad,
emotionally devastated. He was struggling to speak. He was experiencing forgetfulness. I loved in the middle where he just suddenly was like, "My boots. what's the question?"
That was good character work. That was This man is in distress. Someone said they thought he might have put like makeup on to have dark circles under his eyes, like he wasn't sleeping. Really? So,
I didn't notice that, actually,
and I should have, but.
He's so committed to being a little drama boy.
It's amazing. I love to watch a wrestler stretch themselves into previously unexplored territory. Mm-hmm. Wow. To experience sadness. That's what I like to see on my screen. All right. So then he fought Anthony Henry, and then he won. And then I have to skip all of this stuff that I said that has nothing to do with anything because I just started recapping Collision for my co-host for no reason. And then I said, I can't find the second Yuta promo. I thought there was a second, but maybe there wasn't. I think he came out at the end to help with something.
I didn't get all the way through Collision, so I'm not sure.
We don't have to know. Okay, no facts. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We really tried. But it was a long day. Anyway, so we had that promo. Okay, let's go back to Dynamite. We're on firmer ground. So on Dynamite, I wasn't on firmer ground. Okay, so Private Party, we're jumping from Yuta for a moment. Private Party challenged Blackpool Combat Club. Blackpool Combat Club for the trios titles.
This is going so good.
Jesus.
Our heat listener is so furious right now. They're like, I'm just going to turn it off this time.
You can. Free yourself. Free yourself, baby.
Unless.
But what if they're so annoying?
They're so annoying, but I can't stop listening. which actually is, like, in the world of... That's, like, how a lot of people watch wrestling, kind of.
I think so, yeah.
Could be more of them out there for our podcast than we think. Okay. Private Party challenged Blackpool Combat Club for the Trios titles, and they tried to attack Mox during he had an advertised in-ring segment. But they were not that good at attacking Mox and the BCC, and Commander came out to try to help them, and he couldn't. And Mox, like, pinned Isaiah Cassidy to the stage or something, and he said that Private Party hasn't, like... They've been in the same spot for the entire 5 years of AEW's history. Nothing has changed. And what was his line? He said something like, he was like, I'm going to give you something you sorely need. Some friction. Some opposition. I'm going to give you the gift of adversity and give you something to overcome. And then he smashed Isaiah Cassidy's hand with a hammer. I loved it. I mean, actually, loved that.
It was crazy, but amazing.
Mox has really been just exploring the things he can say on television, I think.
He came back so damn randy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's, like, probably healthy for him to, like, not be able to wrestle sometimes. So then he remembers, like, wow, but it's the thing that gets me horniest. I'm not even turned on. I have to get back in the ring.
He came back fully alive for the first time in a while. It's electrifying.
Glowing with fury. And then, anyway, so he hammered his hand, and then Darby came out to attack Mox, but he didn't get to because Mox screedled away. And Darby came out on his little skateboard, which he loves.
Yeah,
he loves.
It's and he tried to hit Mox with the skateboard. It's just very funny to me when they have, like, a little action figure accessory and it looks like they just came right out of their box with it, and that's what they're doing. Like,
and I do kind of mentally envision Darby's skateboard. Like, what is, you know, when we were kids and you had the little thummy, the little finger skateboards, what are they called?
I think just little finger skateboard. I don't know. I could never really do them.
They've got some kind of weird name, like Tech Decks. Tech Decks, I think.
Wow.
I don't know.
Where did you pull that from?
My brother got one at a Christmas party last year that someone had found an old, like, package at Goodwill.
Wow.
And he won it in the Greedy Santa. So
was that, like,
not a bad one.
Was he thrilled?
He was really excited, but then I didn't see him open them. Like, I was kind of like, well, aren't you going to rip into your Tech Decks and you're not going to play some finger skateboard? But I didn't see him do that. So I don't know, maybe he was trying to keep him mint condition. So who's actually going to be involved in this match is my first question.
I thought it was just Darby and Mox, but, like, I mean, what do I know?
Oh, no. Darby and Mox are going to be in their match.
Oh, with Private Party.
In the Trios match. Yeah, because Private Party and Commander now are involved, and we'll get more into the Trios tag titles in a second, but presumably all three men will be there. Mm-hmm. But if Isaiah Cassidy's hand got smashed, that's the kind of thing they often do because they're going to sub that man out and put another man in.
Right.
So I don't
know, because Yuta did say he'd be there.
Yeah. Well, Yuta will be there.
Right. Right, but, like, if you hit Isaiah, like, that would cover for, like, if Yuta's like, I'm not going to show up. But I don't know why they would have... I don't know why they would have hit, like, taken Isaiah out of it if they had all three guys on the other side.
If two trios... I'm worried that this might be our dumbest episode of all time somehow. Like, I'm just, like, not sure what's happening here, but if two trios have a match booked and only two men from each team show up, but then they still just fight, like...
Yeah, and you call it a trios match. It's like when one triplet dies, you're not twins.
Okay, this is like the diarrhea moment all over again.
Yeah, and you want to tell them what you did in the middle? We're all horned out.
It wasn't my fault. Darby said he was going to run right through Mox, and I said, like diarrhea.
No, it sounded sexual. Like no, all. It sounded sexual to me. Before that, it was fun and sexual. But then you made it fecal. You made it fecal.
When something's running right through someone, I just don't know what else I'm supposed to think.
Who's the shock?
It's on me.
Who's the shock jock now, Anne?
Oh, God in heaven. Okay, we got a promo from Claudia Pack and Mox about how Yuta's going to have to choose which of his dads he loves the most. So they gave him this great little trio of speeches where they were like, it's time to buckle down and get to work. We are going to need to see you fighting for these belts. Claudia said, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I thought I taught you better. You're old enough to make your own decisions, I guess. But and then Mox said, I know it's a lot to handle, Wheeler, but I believe you have the strength inside you to do the right thing. It's your choice. You're free to leave. You're not trapped, but you have a personal responsibility to the greater good. You have to look yourself in the mirror every morning and ask, what kind of man did we teach you to be?
Brutal.
It's intense. I really liked their vibe of like, oh, are you still mad we killed Brian? Oh, you shouldn't be. Like,
why you're not going to come to work just because we tried to murder your other dad right in front of you? Well, okay. That's not how we raised you.
It's like if you turn 16 and you find out that, like, your family is in a cult, but you just didn't know before. Like, it feels like that's what's happening with poor Yuta. And they're
your parents are Russian spies.
Oh, my God. It's the Namernicans.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, be rough. Yeah.
That would be rough. Some deal with it differently than others. So I think it's fun that they're leaning on this kind of like familial thing. I do think there's a chance that they're just planning to murder him when he shows up.
Yeah, there's not no chance for sure.
Yeah.
If they've just decided that he can't be trusted.
And honestly, that would really solidify heel box. Like that. Yeah. I would be like, I don't think I can defend that, Mr. Mox.
Yeah, yeah, your own child, your own flesh and blood, and you just destroy him.
So. Yeah, after guilting him to get him out there.
Classic parent stuff. I do want to briefly discuss one other thing that was going on in this promo, which was that Mox and Claudio were both wearing these white t-shirts that I was kind of inspecting, like, the neckline and stuff to be like, did these come out of the same three-pack? Like, they looked really, really similar, like it could have been the same t-shirt. But it was the Goofus and Gallant of white t-shirts where it's like Mox is like titty popping. The man has never looked more fertile. He is just absolutely juiced out in the chest department. And the t-shirt is clinging to every single curve.
Do you remember when people used to say that Chris Evans wore mediums like t-shirts?
Yeah. Very much, very much.
Yeah, that was what Moxley was working with there, where you're like, that t-shirt's too small for you, and God bless you for it.
In a way, it should be. Meanwhile, Claudio, it's like, this t-shirt is giving me nothing. and his face is like, and that's on purpose, because what's under here is between me and my God. I don't have to show it to you. I'm comfortable with how I am.
It fit him like when you're like looking on Amazon and they have one of those dodgy things where like they Photoshop a t-shirt onto a model, but it's really
that's
just
right. Yeah, that's really true. Claudio is dressed to go do yard work and Mox is dressed for his stripper job.
Mox says, I'm going out there. I'm going to get caught in the pouring rain or something. Who knows what could happen to me?
Yeah.
Very funny to see them next to each other there. And then we did also get a promo from Yuta on Dynamite where he again was quite distracted. He'd forgotten his trios belt in the locker room and someone had to run it out to him. And he was, again, doing the like, what's the question? And I think Alex Marvez was running this one. He was a busy little beaver backstage this week.
And he never looked more like a cartoon mole, but I realized what I was picturing was actually like some of the animals from Secrets of Nim.
The rats?
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah, he was very bright-eyed and sort of enthusiastic in a way that Alex Marvez usually isn't, but I feel like he's getting a little life in him lately.
And he did do an expression at one point that was, I can kind of see what Leah's saying, because it was like if he'd been an animated rat, he would have been scrunching up his little nose in excitement.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
Yeah.
And then I think he was just being like, Yuta, are you going to come to this match or like, what's up with those guys? And Yuta was just like, oh, I don't know. I'm really so forgetful. I guess I have to fight it's so important to fight, so I'll definitely be at the match.
I think this is such a good little scenario that they've set up here. Like, I love people being stuck in a get-along shirt, but, like, horrific betrayal, but you're still a trio's belt holder, and so you have to show up with the murders.
Yeah. Good stuff. And, in fact, I distinctly have a memory of us saying that they should do this someday because it seemed so cool, and now I'm like, and we were right to want.
Yeah.
It's great. Cool.
Extremely cool. And they're leaning into it. After so long of the BCC, like, never doing anything emotional or storyline at all, it's like, look at you guys. You're on here doing dynamics. Interesting ones.
It's fun in, like, a bunch of different directions, too. It's, like, good.
Yeah.
It does kind of make you be like, well, why didn't we do any of this before, but it's, you know what, I'm not complaining. I really like it. It's going
Mox
really well.
Mox had to go off and become a woman himself.
He had to become a woman. He and Leah had to become women before we can embark on this.
Oh my God. Maybe he also became a woman at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess he did. That was where he did his betrayal, and that seemed to really light him up inside. So.
Yeah.
You never forget your first betrayal.
I'm sure he's betrayed many people before.
I thought you were going to say you never forget your first womanhood.
You only get one, really.
Hey, I don't think that's true. You can become a woman like Leah's six like, times over.
Don't limit yourself. You get 5 to 6.
You're so right. Everyone can become a woman as many times as they want or as this world delivers to them. That's good. And you get a womanhood.
When womanhood comes at you, you know, you got to take it.
I'm going to make somebody cross-stitch me. You can have as much womanhood as this world gives you.
That's beautiful. That would be a beautiful cross-stitch pillow.
It wouldn't. It's not beautiful. It wouldn't be a beautiful cross-stitch. And I can't help how stupid I am.
We didn't even really say this, but I don't think any of us are really at our intellectual heights. Although it's probably obvious from the first 20 minutes of this podcast.
I don't think we've been doing our best work.
No.
What do you think is going wrong here? I mean, to be completely frank, I did have a little weed while I was doing the schedule, but I wouldn't say that I feel like that affected cloudy in my mind, except sometimes when the words come out.
You know, and sometimes not feeling cloudy in your mind is a little symptom of I had a little weed seltzer mishap myself last night, legal through the 2019 Farm Act in the state of Kentucky and everywhere. But
is it every state?
It's federal. Yeah, there's a federal
loophole. I didn't even know about this.
No, I didn't either until like two weeks ago.
Why aren't they advertising it? Like they're just trying to keep it on the DL? Or?
They're probably hoping that Congress doesn't shut it down. But it's like if it's derived from hemp and below a certain concentration, THC products are legal in accordance with the 2019 Farm Act. What is that?
So crazy.
Anyway, so I wasn't at my intellectual best during Dynamite, I would say.
Yeah, I also was high during Dynamite, but on purpose, because I wanted to be.
You deserved it. You had a real week of it.
I chose my choice.
It was premeditated.
Oh, my God.
But I think that's who wrestling's designed for, right? You're supposed to watch it when you're, like, high and zoned out, right?
I hope so. I mean, otherwise.
I wish it was, because I feel like most of the people in the IWC would be a lot more tolerable if they were getting stoned while watching Dynamite more.
So do they not know about weed in this community? So. Does this community know about weed?
Guys, these little THC drinks, you can find them at your local Total Wine.
You can. No, we can't get into all the things that you can do with the local Total Wine, but. Going like
that,
like really
bad.
I think bad. I think bad, but like we've done a lot of good ones this year.
It's true.
I think
we've been killing
this
it this year.
Bad.
I think generally this so episode true. Of Our Pumps for Us is really going to get trashed on the message boards. I told you to do it. I went to the Our Pumps for Us gas station, and what I saw there, it was not worth the trip.
They just bought weed seltzer. There was just someone drinking weed seltzer on every pump. and one pump with normal seltzer for the rich kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to give them that.
Yeah. Ooh. It was Kenny drinking milk on one pump and then like
Oh my god, though. Okay, what if we had a permanent Kenny pump, but it's just like a milk vending machine.
Milk vending machine. So you can get fresh cold milk out of your gas pump while you're pumping your gas with one hand and you're getting milk with the other.
I thought you were saying that at that Pumps TV it would just be Kenny buying milk from vending machines and drinking it. I was going to say that would be our most popular pump, but not for the reasons we'd want it to be.
Well, I actually think we know what reasons that it would be popular for, and we're okay with that. We just feel like that's okay.
I think it would bring like a certain clientele to our
that we love and that we welcome. No, what I thought was, so you know how we said it's like the rankings where it's, this is our whole new podcast.
I know, it's all I want to talk about, really.
I know, when I tweet this episode on Sunday, I'm literally going to be like, this is a bad one, you can just skip it.
Just don't listen to it. But
you're absolutely unlistenable.
When I picture the gas station, or Pumps for Us, it's like in Wyoming or somewhere, it's the only gas station for like 200 miles, so everyone has to stop there because there's nowhere else to get gas. And then they just watched Kenny drinking milk.
But they're road tripping from miles and miles
for hours to get to us.
Half of our clientele should be people that are on a pilgrimage because they are of our sort. And then half the clientele should have stumbled on there accidentally. You know that McDonald's that's run by like weird like army? It's like, oh my God.
Army's like employees?
No, army. Like the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army is like...
It's a fast food crossover. The Arby's employees are running the McDonald's.
Are you talking about that one Tumblr post about the fucking, like, bomb test town?
Yeah. Wait, there's the bomb test town? Oh.
They accidentally drove onto an Army base and, like, went to a McDonald's.
I did read that,
but it was all built for show or whatever.
Because it was, like, a bomb testing site.
Yeah. But then for some reason,
they had to like pretend that it was a real McDonald's.
But they didn't serve like hamburgers. So they were just like, we're out of meat. Anyways, I feel like there would be a Tumblr post or Twitter, most likely a Twitter post being like, you guys, I just stopped at the fucking weirdest gas station.
They were like, there was a line of cars. I was like, it's the middle of nowhere. What are we doing here? And then I had to wait for an hour. When I got to the pump, there were all these men gathered around it.
Okay. A, that's complete. That's all right. B, let's rewind. Because what I was saying was the pumps are like the ranking system, right? Where it's like, you should be so lucky as to be on pump one. I'm saying that Kenny is kind of like, he's outside of the rankings because he's so good. So he has a special Kenny pump. And the special thing about it, of course, he will be on there always. Like, we show his fun matches that we have him do that he loves. He's one of our most enthusiastic employees. We show, like, special sit-downs we have with him where we just talk about, like, don't you think kissing is so important, Kenny? And he's like, they're paying me so much money. He says... But he probably says that. He's honest. So he's like, well, you guys pay me a lot of money and you seem to like it. So I love it. But then also, and he's drinking milk, but then also you can get the milk next to the gas. Those are all the aspects of the pump.
It's kind of the special Kenny pump. It's like off by itself.
Yeah. It's like pumps one through five. It's highly competitive. You're trying to move up. It's a whole big thing. And then it's just like, you know how some gas stations have one that's diesel? It's like ours is just like, that's the Kenny pump.
Oh my God.
And,
right. Yeah. Yep.
First of all,
people probably pull in and they're like, I hope I get to go to pump one this time, but then they have to go to pump five where Dax is slipping on banana peels and they're like, oh no. Man, not again.
Do you think that when Kenny was like, I always wanted to be presented like a big star like Roman Reigns, like that's what he's talking about. I should be on my own pump.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he meant. Yeah, I mean, that's how you get presented like a star. Do you guys think we should hire Roman Reigns, like, just to annoy people?
Oh, my God, and not use him?
I mean,
if he doesn't want to
sit on
him.
No. Well, yeah, if he wants to fight,
he can fight.
He can fight if he wants to. We won't make him, though.
Very little about that man. But sometimes I do sort of think he has a sense of humor. So it might be like, hey, if we get him with a pool noodle in his hands, like, smacking people, maybe he'll get into it. Maybe it'll be fun.
What if he loved just, like, hanging out on Pump 5 laughing at Dax?
Oh, my God.
That's kind of fun. That's a good use of not nothing.
And it would be even more humiliating for Dax to be running on banana peels in front of Roman Reigns.
That's now, so true.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do we only have 6 pumps?
Yeah, because Leah, like, move pump 6 out to the Kenny pump. I think 6 is our limit. I think that's what we landed on.
Pump. Like, well, even the funny. Standard, even the smallest gas station usually has 8, I feel.
Should we upgrade to a 12 pump system?
Is when we started this. We said, we're so rich, we're going to show our badges everywhere, like taxi cabs and gas stations. Mm-hmm. And then we said we were going to buy a line of gas stations. And then we made it 1 gas station in the middle of nowhere.
And now there's only 6 pumps.
We're really like narrowing our vision down.
We're spending so much on the road floor.
People are like, this gas station must be like a money laundering ring because, like, there's something weird going on here. And it's like, yeah, kind of the opposite of money laundering.
Well, we launder it
instead
back
instead of
into
getting
the
money cleaner, we get it dirtier.
Okay. We're not having dirty money matches or anything. That's crazy. Gosh, what were we talking about 10 minutes ago? What were we talking about 10 minutes ago before we started doing this?
I don't know, but I feel so free being like, this is going to be a bad episode, and it's, yeah. I don't care. It's just so like, free.
We don't have to talk about what, we can just talk about our pumps for
oh,
us.
Oh, you were asking, like, what if a trio's guy just doesn't show up? Oh,
I think we finished that.
The dead triplets?
I think we're done.
I think we're done with the dead triplets.
Should we just go to Mariah?
We're going on to Mariah for sure. I think we just have to, press forward. I do feel really free. Now that I know you're going to tweet it saying, this episode sucks ass, don't listen, I'm like, cool. They've been warned. Okay?
They've been warned. What is this, 165 or something like that? Hey, what? You got 164 good ones. This is a bad one.
Did they, though?
You got 164
I think we have more than that. I think we're in the 170s.
Are we really?
Hmm.
Well, okay. Okay. Lexi Nair interviewed Mariah May on Collision. And Mariah said, I just have the quote because I actually didn't get to see this. I have the best times with Mina Shirakawa, but somewhere along the way, bad things just happened. I need you here. I can't celebrate this without you. I want Mina. I don't know if some lines got cut out in there, but if not, I'm obsessed with it. Honestly, it's like, wow, what happened?
I feel like Mariah has been given these promos where it's like everything she said, I'm like, oh, I'm interested in that. What a weird, interesting thing to say. And I do feel like it describes this podcast a little bit. Happened. We had the best times, but bad things just happened in this opening segment.
I need you here. But actually, we're saying to our listeners, no, you don't have to be here. This is not mandatory.
It's kind of a bonus episode. Think of it as.
Yes, let's call it that, to be honest. This is a special bonus episode that just happens to be coming out at the normal time that our normal podcast comes out.
And we do have a bonus episode that we
on the same day. I think why this is all happening... Oh, we got there because of the weed somehow. We were talking about the wrestlers drinking weed at their pumps. Okay. I think the reason this is all happening, not the weed, is just that, like, it was... I had so much fun watching the wrestling this week, but it wasn't a week where you were like, wow, now things are kicking into gear. It was a week where you got a little high during the show and said, like... That was so fun.
It's crazy because last week's episode made so many people so angry. And I had a perfectly nice time and came into this.
Oh, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Like, ours, what? People had no reaction to. Yeah. Jesus.
No, Dynamite.
Okay, yeah.
Dynamite, everybody was so mad about it. And I was like, I had a fun time. And I was excited to talk about it on our podcast. This episode, like, it was fine. I had a great time, but not a ton to say, and the entire internet seemed so approving. They were like, now this is what we're talking about.
I was like, I've kind of found them of pretty much the same quality. I don't know what happened. I do think
it's that thing where it's like you get a note you don't like in a workshop and you take your story away and you don't change it and you come back and everyone's just forgotten what the note was in the first place, and they're like, I love what you did with character X, and you're like, same thing as before. But you felt you had to say something, so you said something, and now you said something different. That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you. Okay. Yuka Sakazaki interrupted this Mariah-Lexi Nair interview, and she challenged Mariah for the belt, and Mariah was like, no, get in line. And then also on Collision, I actually don't understand this at all, but I think Serena Deeb and Queen Aminata were chit-chatting, and I guess Serena Deeb has been trying to, like, recruit Queen Aminata as a student or something, or a minion or something. So she was like, I saw you fighting Mariah, and you could be so much better if you would just become Play-Doh in my hands.
She kept calling her Queen, too. Like, that was her first name. And I was like, I kind of thought it was her title, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm always very confused about that. Because, like, people call Orange Cassidy Orange, as if Orange is his name. And people used to do that with Red Velvet, too, where they'd be like, and Red did this. And I'm like, I don't think Red is her first name and Velvet is her last name.
Orange is clearly a descriptor about what kind of Cassidy he is. Like, get with the program, everybody.
He's so sweet. That's our child.
He's on pump one.
Over here comfortingly to myself, no one's listening anymore. Thank God. That's our baby. He's on pump one. He is on pump one. And he's so good at being there. Anyway, so then Yuka and Queen Aminata teamed up against Mariah and Serena Deeb on Dynamite. And they won by DQ because someone tried to hit someone else. Mariah tried to hit someone with the belt or something, I think. It was just by disqualification. And then, so Yuka and Mariah are going to fight next week at Grand Slam. And then we got a Mina segment where she gave us a little recap of, she said, I saw you win the title, Mariah, and of course we had, you've changed. You were so crazy. You've changed. But I do miss you. And I miss those sexy good times we used to have. And I can't lie, I'd have more with you. And then she really teased us and she said, do you guys really want Mina? Do you really want Mina at AEW? Mina's coming. Thank you. I do really want you. I've asked for you quite a bit, and I'm really grateful that you're coming.
I know. Thank God.
I want someone to make a vid of... There's not really enough. Well, maybe there is. But I want someone to make a vid sent to Olivia Rodrigo's bad idea, right?
That's right, yeah. I think that they can really wreak some chaos together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved how Mina was like, I've really been shocked by your behavior, but on the other hand, like, let's have fun. No,
it's like, yeah, you were, like, you're kind of like a bad person, but the sex is really good, so.
Yeah, you're the best I ever had, so kind of doesn't matter what fucked up shit you're getting up to these days. Yeah, I'm still going to return that text.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't wait to see what kind of a celebration they have. Any other stuff you want to say about the early days of Mariah's reign? Let's put it that way.
I think, like, one of our group chats was having a very good conversation about it, because I guess, like, people have been complaining that her reign hasn't been good. And our friend Maura was like, it is crazy how, like, the conversations about AEW happen on a timeline that no one understands, because it's like, it's only been a month and people are like, her reign is nothing. But I do wonder if they were kind of like not giving her that much due because they were waiting for the Mina to be available. Yeah. And so now that she is, things are going to kickstart, which that's a sexy enough thing that I could see why they did that, and I'm fine with
that. Yeah, it is very funny. It's like how, like, in the old days when you had, like, yearly TV, like, by the end, if you were into a TV show and in discussions about it, like, by August, everyone was, like, losing their minds and eating each other, basically. But it's like AEW fandom does that, but it's like by Tuesday of the next week, they're, like, losing it.
Yep.
When sometimes there is a tone to the conversation where it's like Dynamite happens and then 2 days later, it's like people are being like, why don't we have 20 new hours of content about this person? And it's like, well, because we only had 2 hours of TV and we only have a finite hours of TV in the week, and TV is where the things happen. And so stuff can only happen on the TV.
Some of it, too, it's like we had two pay-per-views, like, within 2 weeks of each other. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people were out just, like, letting their bodies recover, but everyone seems to be like, where is so-and-so? And it's like, I mean, I think they're probably just, like, healing up a little bit, maybe from the staples, you know?
Like, yeah, I did see someone be like, where was everybody? Know this person, know that person. And I was like, Do they, like, is no one allowed to have, like, a breath? Like, chill
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Like, they've been flying all over the place.
This is what this is why we're constantly saying that your special little guy should not be an A-level stars. Imagine if we got mad every time Taylor wasn't on TV.
Just we would have been angry for 4 years straight. But instead, look at us, cool as cukes.
And pumps, and our pumps for us is only 6 pumps, so people get a lot of time off too. So and they don't have to travel that much because they're just at the one location.
I think we did say though that we were doing 24/7 content.
That is true. So you gotta limit the pumps.
We're not like 2 hours a week. Yeah, like we're running all the time.
But that's why we just have we have cameras in their houses. Like it's like panda cam stuff. Panda cam. Like you know, if you come in late at night, you're just gonna see the panda cam.
The Kenny pump is just kind of a camera on Kenny 24/7. So
we can't.
I'd pay good money for that.
We can't stay away from our cat.
Do you think that, once we got Kenny on side on our project, don't you think we could give, the booking of his pump to him and he would understand the assignment and do a great job?
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't even have to intervene. He'd be over there, doing something that we're like, this is amazing.
I think sometimes we'd have to go, redirect him from video games, maybe. You know, just be like, hey, Kenny, you've been doing this for a while. Mix it up. Go get some milk, buddy.
I think what I would say to Kenny is, I would really want to sit down and just, talk to him about his artist vision, what he, thinks art can be and should be and, that kind of stuff. And then I would say, Kenny, I want you to book it the way you want to book it, but I want you to do one thing for me. Anytime you have a thought where you think, is that a little too far? Is that crazy? I want you to lean into that. And I want you to just always be like a car that lists left. I want you to always be leaning into the weirdest thought you're having at any given time. And let's just see where that takes us over the days, the weeks, the months, the years.
And again, though, I think there are people, if you said that to, they'd be like, I'm feeling fear. I'm scared of where you're going to take me. Kenny would be thriving. Kenny would be like, wow, I will be doing that.
Mm-hmm. The most exciting thing about Kenny, honestly, is that he's going to go somewhere that I couldn't imagine. He is going to come up with things that I would not have thought of. I might have just said, Kenny, kiss someone. He's going to go somewhere better. It's going to be so much, so much weirder, rawer, stranger, more beautiful. Well, I can't wait to see him on his own special milk pump.
I just keep thinking we can't stay away from our gas station. Oh my god.
They're not listening. No one's listening.
No one's listening, so it's fine.
Everyone turned it off already. I don't have to worry.
They're like, these brains aren't working.
Dude, what is happening with
They're going to come back next week and be like, milk pump.
We're still talking about the milk pump next week.
I don't know what's going to happen next week. The milk pump's canon now. We can't get rid of the milk pump.
I'm going to need you to open your third eye and tell us where we're headed. Because I think it might be for a full podcast car crash explosion.
But next week's Grand Slams. Surely we'll shape up for that.
Surely.
Pay attention to Grand
Slams. For Grand Slam?
We're so enthused for Grand Slam. We consider it one of the biggest events of the year.
Listen, when we see Nigel and Brian... We're going to say, you know what one of those pumps should be? ROH. ROH. Wow.
You're going to say that you think one of our precious 6 pumps should be. I don't even want to hear that as a joke.
24/7 ROH.
I don't want. That's not the clientele that I want to attract to our guest
clientele. ROH is out of here. Done for you. You have everything already.
You go hang out in Dave Meltzer's shed with all his DVDs. Not here. Oh, not here. Okay, well, we'll move on to our next topic.
Each topic ends with a little Our Pumps For Us segment. And then we just have to come out of it and be like, I guess we'll just move on.
Have we finished any section? Who cares? No one's listening. This is for us.
No one's listening. This is just for us. I'm giving myself a... I don't know. I'm flushed. Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week on Dynamite, we got a Jack Perry promo about his scapegoat bus. He said, "People like me are crucified in this life so we can be worshipped in the next." I liked that. I don't think he's in a feud with anybody. So this was just like a character building segment where he just proved how effective, cult type language is in the wrestling ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked it.
Love a little religious imagery, a little melodramatic crucified in this life. Jack Perry, what's happened to you?
And I wasn't love it. Wasn't the promo, like the video was like him like filling out an order form for the bus? Like just like
an order form.
Was that like blacked out windows with like white writing that says scapegoat out the top? Oh, wow. Am I remembering this right? I was high.
I don't know what you're describing. Like, are you like
during
ordering,
the
like,
promo when he was like walking towards the bus? They were describing what the butt like somebody.
I like how you just started talking louder. Like Allie's hard of hearing.
Like he was buying the scapegoat decal.
So he was like at the used car store being like, "Here's what I want in a bus. Well, I don't know. I don't remember seeing this, but that doesn't mean very much considering my condition at the time.
I wonder what I'm talking about.
I'm glad that we're not credentialed because they could take them away. If we were a licensed podcast,
we'd never be allowed on the air. Remember when we discovered how few barriers to entry there are on podcast apps?
Oh my god. I don't feel well.
I'm having a hard time recovering from everything that's happened to you. Like when you say lesson on Dynamite, it's just like, what are you saying?
Why? Allie, why are you saying that during our gas station brainstorming session?
Allie, we're really trying to put together our first 6 months of content for our pumps.
I'm so sorry. I'm the problem here. Takeshita Osprey, Kyle Fletcher versus the Young Bucks and Okada main evented Dynamite this week. Osprey and Fletcher. Now, Manolo said that they teamed up to pin Matt Jackson, but I think only one of them can have actually done it. Probably Ospreay. Could have been Fletcher. It was one of them. And they pinned Matt Jackson for the win. There were some tensions throughout the match between Takeshita and his teammates. He really wants to fight Okada, and Ospreay was kind of ignoring him and not tagging him in. So this is valuable. Maybe some lessons about sharing here. And then afterwards, Ospreay, quote, offered his hand as an olive branch of peace to Takeshita. We don't have to use the whole thing, okay? It's a metaphor. So we just say offered the olive branch, and the olive branch stands in for peace. Okay, Manolo? Offered his hand as an olive branch to Takeshita, and Takeshita shoved him instead, but Don broke him up. What did you guys think of the main event?
I could be kind of into like a little Takeshita Osprey thing, and it's one of those things where I feel like they're both being like, we could have a sexy vibe, but the challenge is going to be that I think they both have the souls of a Labrador Retriever,
little so sweetie boys.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out.
Takeshita really is trying to do some smoldering at it. I have been enjoying Takeshita like waking up some personality in those little eyes, and yeah, I'm down.
He's been looking good. I'm excited to see some big matches building. Can you cut that? I really could not feel gracier about the matches.
Just that you said it was going to be a good match? You want that cut?
No. Just where I said I'm excited to see some big matches building. Who was that? That wasn't me. That was a demon. Some kind of demon in me.
I think it's fine. I've been Googling this to see what the fuck I was talking about.
The order form for the bus, yeah.
It's because someone was putting out an all points bulletin describing the bus.
Oh, so it's a police report. Okay,
I thought it was an order form.
I was interested to know where he was ordering the bus from, but I mean, it sounded plausible. Police report, yeah.
This makes more sense. Okay, well, that makes sense. That's right, because you know where they talk over the voiceover throughout was talking about like keeping your eye out for a strange buzz. It was kind of Welcome to Night Vale.
Do you guys think that this would be like an effective drunk history episode? Like if they got the wrestlers to act out what we've described, that would be entertaining. If you just hear our voiceover and Jack Perry's filling out an order form for the bus and then they have to go back.
I want that.
Please. Honestly, like if we describe Dynamite with no notes all week, stone cold sober, I think that would also be effective.
It's probably really like this should just be a recap podcast where it's like we should never weigh in on what we think. We should only be describing what we think we saw. Okay. Well, I really loved this match. I had so much fun in this match. They did moves that even Manolo said he hadn't seen before, which was heartening because I didn't believe myself when I said, like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah. And the moves looked so clean. They were beautiful, new, clean moves. I think all of these men are really good wrestlers. It's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
This is one of those matches where it's, like, crazy that it was on free television, kind of.
Yeah.
Just like, right. I was like, wow, all six of these men are known for being the best in their fields, and for a reason. Like, they're very good at wrestling. Is anyone saying this?
We may be the first and we're the bravest podcast out there, but only because we know no one's listening now. So it's easy. It's easy to speak boldly.
It was like, I really also appreciated at the end of the match, everyone on the internet just going onto Twitter.com and going, apologize to the Young Bucks. Rich and James. Being like, you said they were washed.
You said they were washed. Was it like, no, I'll sound too stupid, but it looked really good. They did a really good job. The only thing that the only negative word I have, and it's not negative, it's about like desires that I wish could be met. And it's not
Please,
about their vests.
Tell us.
It's actually not about their vests. For once,
it's not about their tits.
It has nothing to do with their bodies. It has everything to do with their powerful wrestling brains, because in the middle of the match, I was just thinking about, like, I was watching them, you know, do some of their, what I'm now calling boss buffoonery, and I was thinking about how good they have been at, like, having the in-ring stuff go with this gimmick in that, like, you know, we've seen lots of different versions of the Young Bucks who are, like, different levels of, like, competent and confident, you know, I would say. And they are doing a version where it's like they're really aggressive, but they're also incompetent at many moments in the match. And they are like very happy to be like the butt of the joke a lot of the time because they can't back up their confidence. And so they're doing like, they're still doing obviously extremely good wrestling, but also like the point often isn't that they're doing extremely good wrestling. It's that they're doing extremely good wrestling, but kind of acting like, but we're not that good, actually.
Right. Because they're often taking the move, like, a lot of times.
Yeah. So it is really good. Like, they're really good at it, but, yeah.
Do you think that part of the reason for that is that you can't have them be presented as, like, monsters who, like, you know, can murder everybody in the ring because there's no one, like, at their level other than FTR? So it's like they end up, and I think in some ways, like, not that I would ever call them lazy, but I think it's easy for them to fall back on being like the buffoon in any given match.
Well, but maybe, like, that doesn't not have anything to do with it, but I think it is about, like, if you're playing the CEO character, like, I don't want to watch, like, I guess, yeah. I don't want to watch a CEO who, like, has all the power backstage and is extremely good and competent at their wrestling in the ring. Like, they have to be,
yeah,
like, cheating heels, yeah, for the gimmick, mm-hmm, to work. So none of that is a complaint, because I'm like, they are doing what's right, but sometimes I have been getting hungry for, like, but they're so good and I want to get to watch them in a match where they just, like, get to be unrestrainedly,
yeah,
so good, and, like, less boss buffoons. But that's really a bigger, like, it's not a complaint about the match. It's just like, wow, yeah, they're so good. No. I wish they could look, like, cool sometimes. Yeah.
It's been interesting. I've just been having a lot of thoughts around this because I was reminded recently after All Out about, like, Hangman, like, you know, people talking about how, like, he wasn't, like, he hit a point where he wasn't sure he, like, liked wrestling anymore, and that, like, he'd lost his way a little bit. And then finding Swerve has, like, absolutely revitalized him creatively, and he's like, oh yeah, this is why I love wrestling. And I keep thinking, like, you know, I want Jack Perry to have that at some point. Like, I think he really needs a feud that is going to challenge him that way. And I'm like, and the Bucks have never had that in AEW. I mean, like, you, like, wrestling wise the Lucha Brothers, but not, yeah, promo wise not creatively the way Hangman and Swerve have. Yeah. And so I've just been thinking about that recently, that a lot of the problems with their gimmick is that, like, they end up really not having anyone to, like, meet it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is only kind of tangential to what you were saying. I'm just keep thinking about, related, like, if they were ever, like, presented as, like, the absolute, like, dominant best in the world, it's like, it would just so quickly be like, well, they are, and there's no one at AEW that's as good as they are. It's so actually, where do we go from
FTR,
there?
Leah.
Yeah.
It's FTR, yeah, you know?
Oh, so, of course. It's my fault. I'm sorry to FTR, eh? Yeah. No one's better than slipping on fucking banana peels.
well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's a shame that no one's going to hear that, because I think I phrased that pretty good, but I told everybody to turn off the episode, so nobody
yeah, they're not gonna hear any of this. None of the
secret insights in the middle.
These secret insights. No. Okay. Anything else about that? Oh, Matt Jackson, I gotta give him a Ham Award, because he did my favorite thing that he does, where he gets pinned, which is his job. And then he, as he and Nick and Okada are going up the ramp backwards, he's kind of like crab walking a little bit and just looking like, oh my God, I got such a bad owie. What did they do to me? Why did you let them do that to me? It's like, well, because you take the pins, buddy. You're so good at it. I love you.
And his pearls, they're getting bigger and more so of them big every week. It's like that guy on Twitter who's like, photoshopping a bigger hat on Hangman every day. It's like, I love when the Young Bucks get in, like, an escalating fashion situation.
They really understand how comedy works, and it's, like, pretty simple. It's like, start small and then just get bigger until it's crazy, and then get abruptly normal again, so that everyone's like, what the fuck is happening here? Pretty much comedy. I don't want to explain all of this. Ricochet and Ospreay had a little promo off backstage after Ricochet fought the Beast Mortos and won. And Ricochet was like, everyone's challenging me, but nobody's challenging you. And it's because I'm better, probably. And let's fight at the 5-year anniversary Dynamite in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're going to fight. One, everyone told us that. Everyone was really worried at us about Ricochet's promo abilities. What did you think?
Yeah. It was so normal. Everyone was like, Ricochet is bad at promos. And then it was like, seems middle of the road. Seems fine.
He's better than Mercedes. Like, yeah. What do we, like, I don't know why.
We have to pit two bad bitches against each other.
Maybe he was just, like, really bad at, like, the WWE style promos. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's always interesting. Where people's standards are for,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think that this would have pissed us off 2 years ago, because I really don't think that they have tried that hard to make you understand why Osprey, how they even know each other. And the thing is that, like, now I already know the whole thing just by being in the wrestling community, so my brain is poisoned. But, like, I think 2 years ago we would have been like, who, like, what are they talking about? This man just showed up and was like, I deserve to fight you. How do they know each other?
Yeah. I still feel that way. And I'm, like, not super mad about it, but I am like, well, we could be doing some more stuff on screen, I think.
Should we get the ire of the entire IWC by saying they should show us a video package?
Oh, let's get a really good video package, yeah. No, I think it should come up in naturalistic dialogue.
Exactly. Ricochet should just have to interact with someone in a way that gives me a sense of who he is. But I feel like this is the same thing they've always done where people are like, oh, they're referencing storylines that people won't know when they reference, like, New Japan things. And we'd be like, but we understood it perfectly because they, like, laid it out for us. And then they don't lay it out at all for WWE because everyone's like, well, everyone knows that. And it's like, well, actually not everyone has watched WWE ever. So just give me the same background for Ricochet that you give me for a New Japan guy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much to ask.
No.
I agree.
And I think they, like, honestly, I kind of wish that, I don't know how long they knew that Ricochet was coming, but I actually wish that instead of doing MJF Osprey, I wish that they had held off and did MJF Ricochet, and then at some point MJF could have beat up Ricochet and Osprey comes in to do this, the save, kicking off a feud with MJF that now there's like a weird thing, and then Osprey and Ricochet are like weird bedfellow kind of stuff, and then you like, then we all of us have context to understand this relationship.
Oh,
instead of just telling us in a sentence or two.
I don't know why I just kept feeling more and more like Pikachu shocked, where I was like, oh, she's really doing some long-term story here. She's just thought of all of this for Osprey and Ricochet. Her beautiful mind.
Moments of clarity before I sink back into the swamp.
But it is true. It's like sometimes I do think we have a thing sometimes. It's kind of what's going on with Danielson and Nigel, except it's like different because Nigel wasn't really a wrestler this whole time and Danielson was. And I don't think Danielson ever said anything about Nigel, which is his favorite thing to do, not say anything. But it's like they have, I actually don't tell us about it, okay? But I actually don't know what their deal is. I don't understand their deal. I know they had a package on Collision that I saw a little of, but I didn't watch the whole thing. Nigel got kind of a promo package on Dynamite. I don't understand why Danielson and Nigel is like, oh, such a peak exciting match for ROH heads to get. And I'm not saying they should have done this for them, but like in general, it's like if they have really big, like if they have a big past, we could just run a little of it back in a build before.
Right. Yeah. Like show us them kind of interacting. I mean, I thought the funny thing with that video package that they did run. Well, I want to make fun of Nigel a little bit because he was doing the voiceover while they ran the video clips. But then they just cut back to him like at commentary in his little video game chair with the headset, like cutting a promo on Danielson, which does not look cool. It looks dumb. But like in the video package, like what he was saying was like, we had one of the greatest feuds of all time. We really fought each other and we were really equal and we had lots of good matches. And it's like, to me, that tells me nothing about you. Like, it's like, if you wanted to recap the Hangman Swerve feud, would you be like, wow, had a lot of good matches and it was a good feud? That doesn't get me to the details of how you guys interacted and who you were.
I need to know what your two conflicting worldviews were and why you were fighting, butting heads.
Right.
I'm going to say something bold, but I think it's okay. Right.
It's okay because no one's
listening. I think Brian Danielson is killing the business.
In the good way or the bad way, Leah?
The bad way.
In the bad way, you think.
And he was like, Nigel's been like saying stuff on commentary this whole time. It's just like he calls him a clam digger a lot. Like, that's nothing. That doesn't tell me anything.
No, yeah, I'm like, have you ever heard of kayfabe, guys?
They don't know about it.
Brian Danielson thinks telling a good story is tricking people on podcasts. It's simply not.
I straight up cannot believe that. I just realized in the middle of watching like Nigel's promo or something on Dynamite, I was like, oh my God, Bryan Danielson, that son of a bitch, he's getting away with it again. He's not going to do any build for this match. Yeah. He didn't do any build for the Swerve match. He didn't do any build for the Jack Perry match. And he's not going to do any build for this match.
The man has senioritis. He has senioritis. It's his last semester. He's already gotten a job after he graduates. And he's showing up to every fourth class. And he's not...
It's like Tony gave him a pump. And it's like, you don't get the Kenny pump. You
don't. Oh, gave him a pump is such a funny sentence out of context and in context. But
what? Tony gave him a pump because he was saying one for me, one for you. One for me, one for you. And we're like, that's actually, you can't have that pump. That's actually our special Kenny pump.
We only have six pumps. And Kenny's on that one. So there's only five. So, Danielson, you're going to have to compete for the pumps, for pump space.
And you're not going to get it because you won't cut any promos.
He's like, I were like, okay, Bryan Danielson, turn up at 2 p.m. tomorrow and give us your sales pitch for what you would put on our pump. And then he doesn't show up. And then, like, a week later, he's like, so where's my pump? And we're like, you didn't pitch it to us.
Do we look like 40-year-old white men? No. We started watching wrestling 4 years ago.
I don't know. I don't think it's that much to ask. Again, I'm happy for anyone who's really excited for Bryan and Nigel. I just want you to acknowledge that if you haven't been watching wrestling for a long time and you never saw these men at any other promotion, you really have nothing that you can look at in the world of AEW that will get you to the level of excitement that you think that we should be at. Like, we can't get that. We don't have a ladder. We can't climb to those heights because no one built us a damn ladder.
And it wouldn't take that much either. It's like literally like one interesting interaction would get me like excited about it. And they're just not giving me the one interaction. It's like, I'm fine with people with the history, enjoying the history, but it's like, you need to also.
Specific interactions. It's like, you did this thing to me. I've never forgotten it. You always used to do this. This is why I can't get over you. This is who I am. This is who you are. This is why we'll never see eye to eye, and I have to fight you again.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like Claudio and Eddie, right? Like Claudio showed up and Eddie was like, I have so much history with you, and all of the history is about me wanting to fucking kill you. And Eddie let all of us in on that. It's not like we just were expected to like already be on board.
And actually, that's one area where Claudio also did a really good job, because he actually really has always given off like, I don't fucking like you, and it's because of everything that you do all the time, because of your behaviors.
Yeah. And actually, like, coming in on a ferocious storyline when you don't know the backstory can be very exhilarating. Like, Leah's been watching The Good Wife, and do you remember the episode where they have, like, two musicologists on, and they're, like, giving opposing testimony, you've never seen them before, and then in the middle of someone's, they're like, he said that because he's not a very good musicologist. And then they just get like in a furious, like, fuck you, David exchange. And you're just like, oh, like there's some, we don't know on the show what this history is. And it's like the most fun thing ever. It's like, Bryan and Nigel were giving me some of that energy.
It's true that it's like you have multiple levels multiple ways that you can get there. Like you can, you know, show us something like concrete and specific, or like you can have the energy that makes us like feel it. Which I also wouldn't say that either Nigel or Danielson has done.
No.
Do you think that they should have asked like Tony and Deanna? Like maybe if Nigel if he rolled up his pants and was like, look at this tattoo.
If that Nigel and Bryan got tattoos together.
I'd like to hear it.
I'd like to hear more people in general saying that they have matching tattoos that I didn't
know
about.
Were they ever
about.
Roommates? No one told me.
No one's told me anything about their living situations.
I don't know where they've ever lived. That is so sick.
Is Bryan Danielson the first person we've heard of in wrestling that wasn't at one point roommates with somebody else?
He must have been, though. In WWE, surely he was roommates
with
someone.
When he was in ROH, surely he and CM Punk crashed in a flop house together.
Oh, God. Well, we've got to move on. We can't be getting into any of that. Hangman cut an in-ring promo this week about how he just can't stop feeling angry about everyone siding with Swerve over him, including the crowd and including Tony Schiavone, who has been rooting for Swerve on commentary. And he basically was intimating that he was going to do a little violence to Tony Schiavone, but instead Jeff Jarrett came out to save Tony Schiavone, and he actually what he said was, when he cut a promo afterwards, I'll be damned if I sit backstage and let you put one finger on Tony Schiavone, which I thought was Like, it was technically a really normal wrestling save, but somehow the way that he delivered the line, I was like, oh my God, you better be careful because that's his dad and he's got a shotgun.
Yeah.
Stop making out with his daughter.
It somehow wasn't about, like, Tony Schiavone getting injured. It was more like Tony's honor needed to be protected. Because yeah. It's like, if you put one finger on Tony Schiavone, you're going to have to marry him. You want that?
Tony Schiavone he's going to college. He's getting out of this town. I don't want him winding up stuck here in some little podunk hut with you. All right.
And then his girlfriend, Valerie Jarrett, turns to him and says, hey, man, looks like Tony. Like, I need to look at you.
She's in love with the boy. Was that one Trisha Yearwood?
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so, and then the one disturbing factoid about this is just that they didn't. Oh, so Jeff Jarrett says, I'm going to kick Hangman's ass, even if it's the last thing I do in my career. That's interesting. Sounds like someone wants to get retired. They actually did not confirm that this match will be taking place at Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's not what I like to hear. I don't like to leave the door open to a Full Gear situation. Because we can't be doing this till then.
If we're going to be feuding with Jeff Jarrett until a Wrestle Dream or a Full Gear, I'm going to take back some of my placid energy from last week, and I will be angry instead. I was placid when it was for Grand Slam. If it is for longer than that, that's inappropriate. That's not what I want.
All of our Hangman girly friends are going to be like, thanks for joining the team.
Okay, but we just wait till we get all the information. Yeah, that's all. So true. Okay? So we are open-minded.
Mm-hmm, we're not quick-take people.
No. Mm. What's our saying that you have from Socrates or whatever, Anne?
You are freed from having a take or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius. That's the guy.
I can pull it up.
Yeah, we're going to need to hear it. Everyone needs to hear it periodically, I think.
2 very boring minutes later.
I couldn't find it. Sorry.
Maybe I'll make you record a voiceover record a tomorrow.
Pickup. Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Do a little pickup.
Like when I had to do a correction about Big Bill and
oh yeah,
Lexi Nair.
That's right.
Wow.
I don't remember what you'd said that was so slanderous.
I said I think he's married to Dasha, and then I thought it was important to correct it. It was Lexi Nair.
It was important.
Hi, guys. It's Anne, and it's the next day. I found that Marcus Aurelius quote. It says, "You are not compelled to form any opinion about this matter before you, nor to disturb your peace of mind at all. Things in themselves have no power to extort a verdict from you." And now, back to the stupidest episode we've ever published.
Okay, well, speaking of Big Bill, apparently, Big Bill and Brian Keith ambushed OC on Collision, and then Chris Jericho cracked the best friend's photo over OC's head. And there was a thing at the end of the CMLL thing. It was that OC came out to save Mystico from Jericho, and he did do that, and he saved him. So then OC and Jericho opened Dynamite with a singles match this week, which ended with Jericho attempting to knock OC out with a roll of quarters, and then OC flipped the script and stole the quarters and punched Jericho and won. And that's all she wrote. What did you guys think of the match?
I was so mad that Greg is hurt and home because I wanted bad to get a backstage segment for him where he's just like, I told you he's a little snake and no one ever thinks he is, but he's a snake. And then everybody in catering is like, shut up, Greg.
Okay, can't we still get that?
I almost forgot about it.
I know. Still deserve that.
Even Greg, if his neck is messed up, he can still complain in catering.
Yeah, can't we get, you can green screen him into catering even. If he's you know, still healing, he's not coming to Dynamite, get him in there, have him cut a mean little promo, and then have everybody else be like, Greg, shut the fuck up. That's so funny. That's so good. I didn't know. This was a case where I don't want to sound like one of the new media illiterates, okay? Like, I like for there to be I watch lots of stuff, and I think about people's actions. I don't think like they're good or they're bad. I think some things are good and some things are bad, and some things are morally neutral. But I am not sure if I'm supposed to think that OC using those quarters was like cheating and bad, if Jericho was going to use them first, or I don't know what the wrestling morality is here.
I feel like wrestling doesn't have like a strong enough take on that. Like, I feel like sometimes it's like they're going heel, and sometimes it's like, oh no, well, Jericho was going to cheat, so he was just being clever.
Right. Like, sometimes, still, like, you're always, you have the right to defend yourself, and then sometimes it is supposed to be meaningful, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know for OC either.
Castle Doctrine, you know? Like,
it's not his fault that Jericho kicked his dressing room, super kicked his dressing room door in. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like with some people are really good at like having character consistency about it, where like certain characters, if they chose to do that, I would be like, that's actually quite meaningful and you are absolutely going to turn heel. With OC, I actually don't know. I, of course, am quite interested in him heel turning, but I actually wasn't sure how much they wanted me to take from that.
Yeah, I know. I wish we were kind of focusing on OC's emotional journey a little more than we are, because I feel like he's doing little, like, background character work, but I'd really like us to dwell on his depression a little more the way we're dwelling on Wheeler's depression.
I agree. Yeah. I'd like to see him looking really sad. Yeah. So sad, and it's so sexy, because he's just slumped over, he's crying. Mm-hmm. He's really miserable.
Yeah,
but I'm not.
Meanwhile, 2 feet away in an AEW production shirt, Chuck Taylor is going, I'm not dead.
I'm right here. Yeah, I don't really know. He is doing all those really good background touches, but then also, like, he keeps being in these conglomeration storylines where it's kind of like
he's just doing goofs. Yeah.
He's shifting back and forth really rapidly between like, I'm having fun with my friends, and then like, actually I'm going to fucking die.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Had you guys realized that the conglomeration and the learning tree just did a feud swap?
I hadn't until you said that, but it's like, oh yeah, they sure did.
I really felt like it was a breakthrough when I realized that. And then I was like, a breakthrough to what? What? It doesn't explain anything, but it's good to know that that's what happened. That the conglomeration had been feuding with Roddy, and Jericho had been feuding with Hook, and then they said, switch your partners to OCW.
Tony's spreadsheet is just like a perfectly even table.
He sent him to a key party.
To be honest, I would watch a wrestling show that was just like, one day, like, everybody picks up slips of paper and, like, has to, like, suddenly jump into whatever feud. And you're just like, you have to make it work.
Yeah.
That's your favorite thing, improv.
Okay, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be watching.
No, you like to assign it to other people.
I think Pump 3 should be the drawing names out of a hat feud.
Perfect. That's good, because you could do that as like a full improv competition where it's okay, actually that is kind of a fun idea to be like, we watch you pick and then you have to on the fly be like, okay, how are we gonna build this? We've got a segment and then we've got a match,
right? Mm-hmm. What is our interaction gonna look like? How do we hate each other?
And this is, I mean, this is really a place where people learn to thrive. You know what I mean? Like, on Pump 3, like, you're like, oh, I learned how to do character work. Like, that's how I honed my craft.
That's how you get up to Pumps 2 and 1.
That is how you get to the big pumps. When you succeed at 3, wow.
Just picturing, like, really large, like, stadium, like a drive-in theater pump.
Dax is always coming to our office and being like, I got a pitch for you. Put me on Pump 2. And we're like, okay, Dax, Pump 3 first, though. And he just goes, okay, well, come back with another pitch later.
And honestly, I feel like we've been watching him on Pump 3 with feuds pulled out of a hat, and I'm never impressed with the work they're doing.
I don't even think he's willing to get it. It's like, we're like, you've never engaged in good faith. on pump three. No. You only have one promo, and no matter who you pull, you do that promo.
Right.
And he's like, it's such a good promo, boss. I'd love to make it to pump two or even pump one. Or can he pump?
He's leaking to the tabloids like he's pump one material, but he's held down by...
He's like, I really think that if you just gave me my own pump, I could put 24 hours of content that people will like. And you're like, give me 1 hour of content. And he's like,
oh, yeah, Dak, I'll put you on your own pump. It's an old rusted out water pump out back.
And there's a TV screen.
He's just pumping it.
Oh, he just has to pump it. I see. Yeah.
He's just getting water for everybody. And it's in the desert, so they're pretty thirsty.
It's the punishment pump.
We're really building a rich world here.
Dax, if you're not careful, you're going to wind up on the punishment.
You'll like it even less than you like the banana room.
He's going to be begging to go back to the banana peel room.
What's happened here?
It's fine. Nobody is listening.
Nobody's listening. It's not a problem. Listening.
We've put out so many amazing episodes this year. Who could possibly expect every single one to be a winner?
Yeah, this is episode 177. You're going to get some pump talk.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing left, actually, is Dax and FTR. And it's here for, I just don't understand any of this. So FTR fought Grizzled Young Vets on Collision. And FTR won, and then Grizzled Young Vets attacked them, and then the Outrunners ran out to save FTR. You can't stop these guys. Mm-hmm. FTR from Glommen.
They see a young, fun tag team that people are starting to get into, and they're like, "This is ours now."
I get so mad because I feel like so many people have been saying, "Like, well, FTR and Jericho are such clout vampires," and I'm like, you have to tell me that you see a difference between what Jericho's up to and what FTR's up to. It's like, does Jericho execute every single thing he does perfectly? No.
No.
But you at least, I really do think that Jericho is doing collaboration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. FTR, every single time, it's like, oh, yeah, you let these people be in a feud with you, but like, you didn't give them anything. You didn't give them anything to work with.
Or they're just doing this kind of thing where it's like, some people are popular, so they're like, hey, FTR, I think you're good guys. And it's like, okay, it would actually be better if you would fight with them. Like, it would be better to just do something interesting and unique. Right.
With the Outrunners, they actually could probably have a pretty good fight because the Outrunners and FTR are kind of doing the same gimmick, except the Outrunners are doing parody and the FTR is doing it straight. So if FTR got like mad at them, like, oh, you're stealing our thing, or it's like not a joke, and the Outrunners are like, we're not doing a joke, it's, you know, whatever.
That would be fun.
You could get somewhere with it. It would be fun.
Yeah. But they're not going to do that.
No, instead they're just like, hey, we respect you guys. We'll do funny faces with you. Okay.
So dumb. And then, FTR, Hook, and the Outrunners are fighting Grizzled Young Vets, Roddy, Roosh, and the Beast Mortos on Collision. Can anybody explain why?
They've got to do something about Collision. I feel like every match is like this where you're just like, I guess.
I do want, like, Roosh and the Beast Mortos to be like tag team because like, oh, I would just be like, oh,
balls.
My God.
The running of the balls.
Like, it's a little dangerous for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would.
Well, you're a woman now, Leah.
I would be okay. Into my second womanhood.
Well, the universe so close just to threw another one. Womanhood at me.
They're coming fast and furious now.
But it's just like, what are we doing? Why are we wasting? Like, why are there that many people in that match?
I don't even mind that. It's like, that's fine. They can all fight each other. But, like, I don't know how most of these men, I don't know why they are fighting together. Like,
no. These grab bag matches, it just feels like they're trying to fill time. And it's like, I don't know.
I'd at least like one skit one time of someone going back into catering and being like, I need four guys for a Collision match. Any takers? And just seeing who's around. I guess maybe they know each other. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's it. That's all we got. Anything else you want to say about our gas station?
Do you think our biggest hater is somewhere being like, these fucking idiots don't even know that Grizzled Young Vets and the Beast Mortos have been enemies for years?
Well, we didn't get to see a video package about it, so I guess. Yeah.
We're really pretty dependent on the video packages, so
we're just Tumblr Twitter girls. Yeah, so we didn't get to see any video package, so we don't know anything. If they could
bring more WWE shit in, that's kind of what we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel a little spicy.
I know.
What did you ask, Leah? our hater. Whether our hater is mad at us.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think we were really ourselves tonight.
So. For better.
Derogatory.
Or for worse.
Derogatory. I don't know what happened. I think it was just, you know, it's like there wasn't much. I didn't feel very emotional. It felt
like, yeah, just kind of cruise control. Like I liked it, you know, yeah. But I still feel a little bit high, even though I'm not.
I probably am, but I don't feel that way. I feel just like myself in here. Mm. Yeah, and so excited for Grand Slam. God, I hope Tony.
Oh.
I hope Tony sold a lot of tickets.
I mean, I don't think he did.
I heard he has crazy. Sorry, Tony. Sorry, I'm not daving you. Okay, I'm not. I'm happy for you. I think that you got a really good deal, and I'm not gonna be like one of those podcasters who's saying like. Well, is he going to get a good deal in 4 years?
I believe.
Sure, Rich this deal's good, but what about the next one?
What about the next one?
I believe that Rich and James said that they expect every Social Suplex host to do an episode on the deal. So, like.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah. And that they specifically said that our episode better have some facts.
Wow.
Oh dear!
I haven't finished.
Well, didn't we get? We got a fact in here. I heard that they'll be making some money.
If the pay-per-views are on Max, as is rumored, that will be exciting. I'll enjoy that.
I'd like it if the old episodes went up on Max. Is that rumored?
I don't know.
I'd love to.
If the pay-per-views were on Max, I would free up some cash, which would be nice.
Well,
Love to free up some cash. Yeah. I would love it if old episodes ended up on Max, only because if I have to fucking rewatch another one episode on the TBS website, it is unusable. God. It is unusable.
It's crazy. And like Bleacher Report 2 for the pay-per-views, it's like the rewind function there. Why is it so bad? I don't know.
That site don't work. No. I mean, every time I'm on Bleacher Report, it is like, I mean, like this can't be it. Like, I'm surprised anew every time. Like, I'm like, this is your whole platform?
And when I have it on my laptop, and whenever, like, if you go out of full screen, it automatically mutes it. And then if you go into full screen, it also automatically mutes it. And it's like, if I'm going into full screen, why do you think I want the sound off at the same time?
Sometimes it does a thing, too, where if you go to another tab and then come back, it has just paused the pay-per-view while you were gone. And it's like, I'm watching it.
Yeah, I've got to be in some tabs.
I know I wasn't looking at it, but I was watching it.
I do think that we're probably the only people who complain about that, because most people would be like, if I click away, I'm not watching it anymore. No, that's the more I click away, the more I'm listening with my ears.
I think you could have that feature if you weren't watching live. But if you're watching live,
come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, yeah, I hope it's on Max. Were these good facts? Do you think we did it? Or they want to, we could do a whole episode.
Oh, it's after the deal? We have to come up with more facts after the deal?
About the deal, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll certainly be learning some facts.
I guess people will present if I had us to guess. With
facts, yeah. I've learned a lot of facts against my will, so, yeah.
I've never once asked to learn a fact, but people do be teaching them. Or trying. Is that the end of the episode? Are we done here?
I think we're done here. Yeah. Great work, everybody.
Really something. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
God in heaven. This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod. You can find us other places as well, probably on YouTube, or you can find us via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on...
I like that you just got tired and bored in the middle of our own outro.
Just like kind of a heavy sigh. You're kind of performing Wheeler OC depression.
I'm still in this.
Stay frosty.
Listen, You can find us on our feed. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great podcasts. You can rate, review, and subscribe to us on either of those. Definitely, for sure. You can stay frosty if you try. And please come back. Please don't be listening still now, but come back next week.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.